Okay, so welcome to the deep dive, everybody. Today we're going to be getting into something that is, it's really the heart of any business, right? How it makes money and how it prices what it offers.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether you're heading up some huge corporation or just kind of sketching out your next big idea, understanding these things, revenue streams and pricing strategies is absolutely critical.
It is, yeah, for strength and profitability and
Yeah.
just, staying power over the long term.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, we've gone through quite a bit of material.
We have.
And really the mission here is to make sure that you come away with a really solid grasp of this whole area, as quickly and painlessly as possible.
Yes, exactly.
There you
Make
go.
it easy to digest.
Yeah, so we're going to be getting into not just, the why of having multiple revenue streams, but what those different streams can actually look like.
Right, the actual mechanics of it.
Yeah, and then we'll get into real-world examples of companies that are doing this really
Love
well.
that. Yeah, seeing it in action.
And then we'll get into the psychology behind pricing, because it's not just about crunching numbers. There's a lot of psychology that goes into how we perceive price and how we respond to different pricing strategies.
It's so interesting, yeah. And we'll get into things like dynamic pricing and also some of the hurdles that businesses can face when it comes to, setting the right prices and some of the innovative pricing strategies that are popping up. Yeah, I'm excited to dig into all that.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, our goal is to equip you with this kind of like mental
The
framework,
toolkit, yeah.
yeah, for understanding how businesses generate revenue and how that pricing piece plays such a crucial role in their success.
Exactly. Perfect. All right. So to kick things off, let's just start with a fundamental concept. And that's, not putting all your eggs in one basket, not relying on just one way to bring in money. We're talking about the diversification of revenue streams. But first off, can we just like define what a revenue stream is in simple terms?
Sure. So at its core, a revenue stream is any way that a business brings in money, any avenue.
All right. So it could be selling products, it could be services, subscriptions.
Exactly. You got it. So the really important thing here is recognizing that there's a ton of risk if you're only relying on one source of revenue.
Right. If all your income hinges on that one thing.
Right. Imagine a company that just sells, one product through one channel. If something happens to that product or that channel, like demand dries up or there's a supply chain issue, the whole business is in trouble.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's like that old saying, right? Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. And all the sources we've looked at, they really hammer on this point. Having those multiple streams gives you stability.
Like a safety net.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you that flexibility to adapt and to, pivot if one stream starts to weaken.
Especially, in times of economic uncertainty.
For sure. So that's like the risk mitigation element of diversification.
Right. So it's not just about surviving, it's also
Yeah.
about being able to thrive.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's where the growth potential comes in. Diversification allows you to tap into different markets, engage with different customer segments.
Right, reach a wider audience.
Yeah, without necessarily having to completely overhaul your core business.
That's great. And I think one of the sources used a really helpful analogy to illustrate
Oh
this.
yeah, the sturdy chair analogy.
Yeah. Do you want to explain that one?
Sure. So it's like this, imagine a chair with multiple legs.
Okay.
If one leg weakens, the chair can still stand because it's got those other legs to support it, right?
Right. Okay. So each leg represents a different revenue stream.
Exactly. And so a business with diverse revenue streams is like that chair. It's more stable, it's more resilient, it can handle, bumps in the road.
I love that. Yeah. And so, beyond just avoiding, disaster,
Yeah.
what are some of the tangible upsides of having all these different revenue streams, supporting a business?
Well, we talked about the risk mitigation piece, right?
Right.
You're not totally dependent on just one thing. But then there's also, you can expand into new markets,
Right.
reach new customers, as we said. You can, even increase brand awareness.
Right, because you're engaging with more people in more ways.
Exactly. And historically, we've seen that companies that have a wider range of products or services, they tend to do better during those economic downturns.
They're more adaptable.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so diversification, clearly a smart move. So now let's actually get into the nitty-gritty of what these different revenue streams can look like.
Okay, let's do it.
What are like the main categories that we should be thinking about?
All right, well, there are a few key types. And first up, we've got subscription services.
Ah, yes, the subscription
It's a
model.
subscription model, right? So this is where customers pay a recurring fee typically monthly or annually.
Right, like your Netflix or your Spotify.
Exactly. And it's not just for entertainment. You know, you've got SaaS companies, software as a service,
Right.
where you're essentially licensing software on a subscription basis and accessing it online. So like Microsoft 365 would be an example of that. Or even, you know, gym memberships, online communities, things like that.
It's everywhere, right?
It's everywhere.
And one of the big advantages of this model is that it provides a very predictable revenue stream.
Right. Totally. You know, you've got that consistent cash flow coming in, which makes forecasting and planning so much easier.
Right.
And it also tends to cultivate a stronger relationship with your customer, you know, because they're engaging with your brand or your product on an ongoing basis.
Makes sense. They're more invested.
Yeah. And that can lead to higher customer loyalty and retention rates.
Right. And I imagine it also opens up opportunities for upselling or cross-selling, right?
Exactly. You know, once someone's in that ecosystem, you can offer them, you know, premium versions, additional features, add-ons, things like that.
So it's not just about that initial subscription.
Right. It's about cultivating that long-term customer relationship.
Okay, so subscriptions, that's a big one. What's another major type of revenue stream?
So next up, we've got the classic one-time sales.
Okay, the good old-fashioned purchase.
Yeah,
Yes.
exactly. So this is probably the most traditional revenue model. You know, a customer makes a single purchase, they get the product or service, and the business gets that immediate influx of cash.
Right, so this would be like your, you know, retail stores, online, e-commerce.
Exactly. Anything from physical goods to digital products like ebooks, software, licenses.
Right, or even if you're like a consultant and you do a one-off project for a client.
Absolutely. That falls under one-time sales as well.
Okay, so it's pretty straightforward pricing-wise, right?
Yeah, it
Right.
is. You know, it's very clear what the customer's paying for, and the business realizes that revenue right away.
Right. And I imagine this model also works really well for those kind of impulse purchases.
Totally. You know, you see something, you buy it. Boom.
Instant gratification.
Instant gratification.
Okay, one-time sales makes sense. So what else is there?
Okay, so last but not least, we have licensing and royalties. And this one's particularly interesting because it allows you to monetize your intellectual property.
Oh, okay, so this is where things like patents and trademarks come in.
Yeah, exactly. So you're essentially granting someone else the right to use your IP in exchange for a fee or a percentage of the revenue that they generate from it, which is the royalty.
Okay, so give me some examples of how this plays out in the real world.
Sure. So, you know, you could have a tech company that licenses its patents to manufacturers, or, you know, a musician who earns royalties every time their song is streamed or sold.
Right, or like when you see a company that's, you know, putting popular movie characters on their merchandise.
Yeah, that's character licensing. You know, they're paying the owner of that IP for the right to use it.
Okay, that's fascinating. So it's like you're getting paid for your ideas, your creations.
Exactly, without necessarily having to handle the entire production and sales process yourself.
Right, so there's this potential for generating like passive income.
Huge potential. Yeah. You
Yeah.
know, leverage your existing assets, generate revenue without having to create, you know, a new product every time.
That's amazing. And I imagine it also helps, you know, expand your brand reach.
Absolutely. You know, get your IP into new markets, new product categories.
Okay, so we've got subscriptions, one-time sales, licensing royalties. Those are some big buckets now to really drive these concepts home.
Yeah.
Let's look at some companies that are doing this really well, you know, diversifying their revenue streams.
Okay, sounds good.
And the sources that we looked at, they highlight Amazon and Adobe as, you know, prime examples.
Yeah, two giants.
So let's start with Amazon. You know, everyone knows Amazon, they started as this online bookstore,
Humble beginnings.
but they become this behemoth.
Yeah.
You know, they're involved in so many different sectors.
Yeah.
How did they manage to diversify their revenue streams so effectively?
Yeah, well, Amazon's a textbook case of diversification. You know, their core business is still e-commerce, selling, you know, everything under the sun.
Right.
But then on top of that, you've got Amazon Prime, which is a subscription service.
Right, which gives you like free shipping and streaming and all these perks.
Exactly. And it's become incredibly popular, you know, millions of subscribers.
It's so convenient.
Yeah, and then you've got this completely separate beast, which is Amazon Web Services or AWS.
Right, the cloud computing arm.
Yeah, and this is huge. You know, they're providing the underlying infrastructure for so many businesses and online services.
It's like they've built three massive businesses all interconnected.
That's a good way to put it. And what this does is it gives them a massive buffer. You know, if one area of the business takes a hit, they've got those other areas to fall back on.
Right. They're not reliant on any one thing.
And the sources point out that their brand has also become synonymous with convenience and reliability across all these different offerings.
Right. It's all under that Amazon umbrella.
Yeah. Which, you know, fosters trust with customers.
Okay. So Amazon is a great example of kind of starting with one thing and then branching out in these really smart, strategic ways.
For sure. And then you've got Adobe, who took a very different approach.
Right. They had a more like deliberate shift in their revenue model.
Exactly. So, you know, Adobe, they used to be known for selling boxed software.
Right. Like you'd go to the store, you buy Photoshop or Illustrator on a CD.
And you'd have that perpetual license.
Yeah.
But then they made this big move towards a subscription model.
Right. With Adobe Creative Cloud.
Exactly. So instead of that one-time purchase, now users pay a monthly or annual fee to access the entire suite of Adobe's creative applications.
Okay. And that includes like updates and cloud services and all that.
Exactly. It's all bundled in.
So what was the impact of this change?
Well, it was huge. You know, the sources indicate that it created this much more predictable and consistent revenue stream for Adobe.
Right, because instead of these, you know, sporadic one-time purchases,
yeah,
they've got this steady flow of money coming in.
Exactly, month after month.
Makes sense. And it probably also deepened their customer engagement, right?
Absolutely, because now you've got these ongoing updates, new features are being added all the time.
So people are more likely to stick around.
Yeah, they're getting more value out of that subscription.
And I imagine it also lowered that barrier to entry for a lot of people, right?
For sure. You know, instead of having to shell out hundreds of dollars up front for a software license,
right,
you can pay a more manageable monthly fee.
Which makes it more accessible.
Exactly. So it opened up their tools to a wider audience while also creating that more stable revenue stream for Adobe.
Win-win, win-win.
Okay, so these examples really highlight the power of, you know, thinking about your revenue streams and being willing to adapt and evolve.
Right. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing.
Okay. So now let's switch gears a bit and talk about something that is super important when it comes to pricing, and that's the psychology of it all.
Yeah, the psychology.
Because it's not just about numbers, right? There's a whole human element to how we perceive value and how we respond to different price points.
Absolutely. And the sources we looked at, they really emphasize this point.
Yeah, that the perceived value of something often outweighs the actual cost. Totally. And that's where you get into those strategic pricing tactics.
Yeah.
You know, things like charm pricing and premium pricing.
Okay, so let's break those down, starting with charm pricing.
All right, so charm pricing, this is the classic, you know, 99 cents thing.
Right.
You know, pricing an item at $19.99 instead of $20.
Or like $9.99?
Yeah, and it seems so tiny, right? Just 1 cent.
But it makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference psychologically. You know, shoppers, they tend to focus on that leftmost digit.
Okay.
So they see $19.99 and they're like, oh, that's way cheaper than $20, even though it's essentially the same price.
Right. Our brains just kind of latch onto that first number.
Exactly. And there's actually a cognitive bias called the left digit effect that explains this. You know, our brains just give that leftmost digit more weight.
Interesting. So it's not just, you know, marketing trickery. It's like an actual thing in our brains.
It's a real thing. And you see charm pricing everywhere, you know, both online and in brick and mortar stores.
Yeah, for sure. It's like everywhere you look.
It's ubiquitous.
Okay, so that's charm pricing. Yeah. What about premium pricing?
So premium pricing is kind of the opposite approach.
Okay.
It's where you intentionally set your prices higher than your competitors.
Okay.
To signal to customers that your product or service is of superior quality.
Right. Like you're the high-end option.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about exclusivity. It's about status.
Okay.
And the psychology here is that people are often willing to pay more if they believe they're getting something better.
Or if it makes them feel like they're part of, you know, an exclusive group.
Absolutely. You know, think about luxury brands, high-end hotels, specialized service providers.
Right, those brands that have that aura of, you know, prestige.
Exactly. And there's this concept called signaling theory that helps explain this. You know, price can act as a signal of quality when customers don't have other information to go on.
Right. So if they see a higher price, they might assume that it must be better.
Exactly. You know, the old adage, you get what you pay for.
Right.
So premium pricing, it's about cultivating that perception of being the best, even if your actual production costs aren't that much higher.
Right. It's about positioning.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've got charm pricing, we've got premium pricing, and now let's talk about something that adds a whole other layer of complexity, and that's dynamic pricing.
Ah, dynamic pricing. This is where things get really interesting.
Yeah, because now we're not talking about fixed prices anymore.
Nope. Now we're talking about prices that can change constantly.
Right. In real time. based on all sorts of factors.
Exactly. You know, things like supply and demand, competitor pricing, even individual customer data in some cases.
So who's using dynamic pricing?
Well, the airline industry is a big one.
Of course, they're the kings of this, right?
Yeah. You know, those flight prices, they're always fluctuating.
It's like a roller coaster.
And then you've got ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft.
Right, with their surge pricing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So these industries, they're using complex algorithms that are analyzing tons of data to determine the optimal price at any given moment.
So let's talk about airlines specifically. You know, how do they manage to adjust those prices so granularly?
Well, their algorithms are taking into account things like historical booking data, real-time demand, how many seats are left on the flight, and how close it is to the departure date.
So as the flight fills up, the price goes up.
Generally, yeah. And prices also tend to be higher during peak travel season.
Right, like holidays and stuff.
Exactly. And so savvy travelers, they know this. You know, they try to book in advance or during off-peak times to get those better fares.
Right, you got to play the game.
You got to play the game.
And then you've got ride-sharing companies with their surge pricing, which, you know, can be a little controversial sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you're like, what is going on here?
Well, what's the logic behind it from their perspective?
So surge pricing kicks in when demand is really high, like during rush hour or bad weather.
Okay.
And the goal is to balance the number of drivers with the number of ride requests.
Okay, so they're trying to make sure there are enough drivers on the road.
Exactly. And to incentivize drivers to get out there during those peak times, they temporarily increase fares.
Okay.
So some customers, they love it. You know, they're willing to pay more for that convenience of getting a ride quickly.
Right.
But others, they get frustrated. You know, they see that higher price and they're like, no way.
Right. It's a balancing act.
It is a balancing act between, you know, maximizing their revenue and keeping customers happy.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've explored traditional pricing, dynamic pricing.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about some of the challenges that businesses face when it comes to setting the right prices.
Yeah, because this is not easy.
Not at all. So what are some of the common hurdles that companies run into?
Well, one of the biggest ones is just setting the right price in the first place.
Right, like finding that sweet spot.
Exactly, because if your price is too high, you risk losing customers to your competitors.
Right, people are going to go somewhere else if they can get it cheaper.
Exactly, and if your price is too low, you might devalue your offering.
Right, it might seem cheap or low quality.
Exactly, and you might not even be covering your costs, let alone making a profit.
Right, so how do businesses strike that balance?
Well, the sources highlight a few key strategies.
Okay.
First off, market research is essential.
Right. Know your market.
Yeah. You got to understand what your competitors are charging.
Okay.
What are customers willing to pay for similar products or services?
Right.
You know, look at market trends, all that good stuff.
Okay. So data.
Data is your friend.
Okay. What else?
Another helpful tactic is A/B testing.
Okay, so that's where you experiment with different price points.
Exactly. You try different prices with small groups of customers.
Okay.
See what resonates best in terms of sales and revenue.
So it's like a little mini experiment.
Exactly. It's a data-driven approach.
Okay, and then what about customer feedback?
Customer feedback is crucial. You know, get insights from your customers directly through surveys, beta testing programs.
Or you just ask them what they think.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, are they happy with the pricing? Do they feel like it's fair? Does it align with the value they're getting?
Okay, so really just listen to your customers.
Exactly. They're your best source of information.
Okay, so market research, A/B testing, customer feedback. Those are some good tactics for setting the right price. What other challenges did the sources mention?
Okay, so another big one, and we touched on this earlier, is the challenge of diversifying revenue streams.
Right, making sure you're not too reliant on any one thing.
Exactly, because if you've only got one or two revenue streams,
you're more vulnerable.
You're super vulnerable to market fluctuations, unforeseen disruptions, you know, all sorts of things could happen.
And the solutions to this would really tie back to our discussion about the different types of revenue streams, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, implementing subscription-based options to create that recurring revenue.
Okay.
Exploring licensing agreements to monetize your intellectual property.
Okay.
Developing bundled offerings or complementary products, you know, to expand your revenue base.
Right. Give people more ways to give you money.
Exactly. Give them options.
Okay. So we've covered traditional pricing. We've covered dynamic pricing now. Let's get into some of the more innovative pricing models that are out there.
Okay. Yeah. Things are getting pretty wild these days.
So one that we see a lot is the freemium model. Can you explain how that works?
Sure. So freemium, it's all about giving users a taste of your product or service for free.
Right, like a free trial.
It can be like a free trial, or it could be a basic version with limited features.
Okay.
And then you charge for premium features or an ad-free experience.
Okay, so the idea is to get people hooked on the free version.
Exactly. Get them in the door
Right.
and then hopefully convert a portion of those free users into paying customers.
Okay, so where do we see this in action?
Oh, this is everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Spotify is a classic example.
Right, free music with ads, or you pay for premium.
Exactly. And then you've got Zoom, free video conferencing with some limitations, or you can upgrade for more features.
Right, so many examples.
Yeah. And the beauty of this model is that it can lead to really rapid user acquisition.
Right, because there's no upfront cost.
Yeah. It's a low barrier to entry.
Makes sense. And then as you scale, if you can convert a decent percentage of those free
The
users.
revenue potential is huge.
Okay, freemium, that's a big one.
Yeah.
What about pay what you want? How does that work?
So pay what you want. It's a very unique approach.
Yeah, this one sounds kind of risky.
It can be risky, because you're essentially letting customers decide how much they're willing to pay.
So you could end up getting, almost nothing.
Yeah, there's that risk, but it can also be really powerful,
Okay.
especially if you can create a strong sense of community or if there's a charitable element involved.
Okay, so give me an example.
Sure. So Humble Bundle is a company that does this really well.
Okay.
They offer these bundles of digital goods like video games, ebooks, things like that.
Okay.
And you can pay whatever you want, but they encourage you to pay what you think it's worth.
Okay.
And a portion of the proceeds often goes to charity.
Okay, so it's like a win-win-win.
Exactly. You get some great stuff, you support a good cause, and Humble Bundle, they generate revenue.
I like that.
Yeah, and this model, it can generate a ton of positive buzz on social media.
Right. People love to share it.
Yeah, and it can really build goodwill, because people feel like they're getting a good deal and they're supporting something they believe in.
It's a feel-good model.
It is.
Okay, so those are some really interesting, innovative pricing models. Now, let's shift gears a bit and talk about balancing profitability with customer satisfaction.
Okay, yeah, because you can't
Yeah.
just focus on making money. You've got to keep your customers happy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, how do businesses make sure they're not alienating their customers with their pricing strategies?
Well, one of the most important things is transparency.
Right? No hidden fees.
No hidden fees, no
Yeah.
gotchas, be upfront about what customers are paying for.
Yeah, because nothing makes people madder than those unexpected charges.
Exactly. It just erodes trust.
Okay, so transparency, that's key. What else?
Another good strategy is offering tiered pricing plans.
Okay, so like different levels of service at different price points.
Exactly. You could have a basic plan, a premium plan, an enterprise plan.
Right, cater to different needs and budgets.
Exactly. Give people options.
And I imagine monitoring customer feedback is super important here.
Absolutely. Pay attention to what people are saying in surveys on social media
Right.
through customer support channels.
Are they happy with the pricing?
Exactly. Are they finding value? Are they confused about anything? Get that feedback and use it to make adjustments.
Okay, so listen to your customers and be willing to adapt.
Exactly. And the sources also highlight a really important metric to keep an eye on, which is your churn rate.
Okay, churn rate, what is that?
So churn rate is the percentage of customers who stop doing business with you.
Okay, so like they cancel their subscription or they just stop buying your products.
Exactly. And a high churn rate, it can be a big red flag.
Okay.
It could mean that people aren't happy with your pricing or the quality of your product or service, or maybe the overall customer experience just isn't great.
So it's like a sign that something's wrong.
Yeah, it's a sign that you need to dig deeper and figure out what's going on.
Okay, churn rate, got it. So we've talked a lot about, internal factors, but businesses also need to be aware of what's happening in the wider market.
Absolutely. You're not operating in a vacuum.
So how important is it to do market research
Yeah.
and analyze your competitors' pricing strategies?
It's crucial. You got to stay informed about your industry. What are the trends? What are your competitors doing?
Okay.
And you got to know what makes you different. What are your unique selling propositions?
Right. What sets you apart?
Yeah, what's your competitive
Yeah.
advantage? Once you know that, you can start to look at your competitors' pricing strategies.
Oh.
Where do they fall on that price quality spectrum?
Right. Are they going for the low cost, high volume approach, or are they positioning themselves as the premium option?
Exactly. And then you also need to be aware of those broader market trends.
Right.
What are the shifts in consumer behavior? What new technologies are emerging? Are there any changes in regulations that might impact your costs or your customer's willingness to pay.
Okay, so just stay on top of things.
Stay on top of things.
So what are some concrete steps that businesses can take to stay informed, you know, to do this ongoing analysis?
Well, you know, subscribe to industry newsletters, set up Google alerts for your competitors or keywords that are relevant to your industry,
Right.
and, you know, attend industry conferences, webinars, things like that.
Right. Just immerse yourself in the world of your business.
Exactly. Stay in the loop.
Okay. So once a business has a solid pricing structure in place, how can they use that to scale their operations and drive growth?
So a good pricing structure, it's like the foundation for growth.
Okay.
You know, it provides you with the financial resources to invest in things that are going to help you grow.
Okay.
So you can automate your billing processes, especially if you've got subscription-based models
Okay.
that frees up time and resources.
Right.
And then you can reinvest that revenue that you're generating through strategic pricing back into the business so you can invest in marketing, product development,
Wow.
customer support, you know, all the things that are going to help you reach more customers.
Right, so it's like a virtuous cycle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you price strategically, you generate revenue, you reinvest that revenue, you grow the business, and then you can refine your pricing strategies even further.
I love that.
And it's important to stay flexible, you
Yeah.
know, be willing to adapt your pricing as needed based on market conditions, and you know what your competitors are doing.
Right. Always be evaluating and refining.
Exactly. And the sources also mentioned some specific scalable pricing tactics that can be really effective.
Okay, like what?
Well, you've got things like volume discounts.
Okay, so giving people a break if they buy in bulk.
Exactly. Incentivize those larger purchases.
Okay.
Then you've got premium upsells.
Okay, so encouraging people to upgrade to a higher tier plan.
Exactly. You know, maybe they get more features, more storage, more support, whatever it might be.
Okay, and then what was the last one?
Segmented pricing.
Okay, so that's where you offer different prices to different groups of customers.
Exactly. You know, based on their needs, their demographics, their willingness to pay.
Okay, so it's like tailoring your pricing to different segments of your market.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered a ton of ground today.
We have.
Before we wrap things up, let's just do a quick recap of the key takeaways.
Sounds good.
Okay, so first and foremost, diversify your revenue streams. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Couldn't agree more. You know, having those multiple streams gives you a cushion if one area of the business weakens.
Right, it's all about resilience.
Resilience is key.
Okay, what else?
Understand your customer psychology. You know, use those tactics like charm pricing, premium pricing, to influence how people perceive the value of your offering.
Right, tap into those cognitive biases.
Exactly. And don't forget about urgency and exclusivity. You know, those can be powerful motivators as well.
Okay, so we're playing a little bit of mind games here.
A little bit.
Okay, what's next?
Embrace dynamic pricing. You know, if it makes sense for your business,
Right.
use those algorithms to optimize your pricing based on demand and
Okay.
be ready to adapt quickly.
Right.
Market conditions are constantly changing.
Okay, what else?
Explore innovative revenue models.
Right. So we talked about freemium, pay what you want, licensing royalties. You
Yeah.
know, there's so much out there.
Yeah, get creative. Think outside the box.
And then last but not least,
Evaluate and refine your approach continuously.
right. So don't just set it and forget it.
No,
Yeah.
gather customer feedback, use A/B testing, track your churn rate, keep an eye on your revenue trends.
And spy on your competitors.
A little bit of healthy competition never hurt.
Exactly. So ultimately, mastering revenue streams and pricing, it's about more than just numbers.
So much more.
It's about understanding your customers.
Yeah.
The market, the psychology of pricing, you know, it's a lot to juggle.
It is, but when you get it right, you can build a business that is not only profitable, but also resilient and adaptable.
Right. You can weather those storms.
Yeah.
And we saw how companies like Amazon and Adobe, they've built these incredibly robust revenue ecosystems.
Yeah, they're masters of diversification.
But it's not just for the big guys.
Yeah.
You know, even smaller businesses, they
Wow.
can use these strategies.
Absolutely. You know, we talked about freemium pay what you want. Those can be really powerful tools for startups and smaller businesses.
Right. Find your niche and build that loyal customer base.
Exactly.
So the key takeaway is that this is an ongoing process. You
This
know,
was
you got to be willing to experiment,
experiment.
analyze the data,
The data.
and adapt,
Adapt.
pivot when necessary.
Don't be afraid to change course.
Okay, so as you're reflecting on this deep dive, you know, whether you're thinking about your own business or businesses that you interact with,
Yeah.
take some time to really brainstorm,
Yeah.
analyze your current revenue streams,
Yeah.
your
Yeah.
pricing strategies, explore those different models that we talked about.
See what might work for you.
And the goal here is to create a business that is stable,
stable,
profitable,
profitable,
and adaptable.
Adaptable.
A business that can thrive in any market conditions.
Exactly.
So as we wrap things up, I want to leave you with one final thought.
Okay, hit me.